versus Central States. Speaker?
May it please the court, I represent the appellant in this matter, Franciscan Scamp Healthcare. The question presently before the court is of vital significance to hospitals like Franciscan Scamp throughout the Seventh Circuit. The question before the court today is, can ERISA be construed so broadly as to put a cloak of immunity over health plans like Central States, regardless of their tortious misrepresentations? In this case, the complaint alleges that Central States misrepresented the terms of shared reliance coverage, and a reliance, reasonable reliance upon those misrepresentations, Franciscan Scamp provided over $70,000 in medical care, only to find out after the fact that coverage had been contingent, that coverage was retroactively terminated, and by the time that Franciscan Scamp learned of these misrepresentations, there was nothing it could do to change the situation. Preemption, as the district court found in this case, is recognized for these types of cases. ERISA-based plans like Central States will be rewarded for their tortious conduct. They'll essentially be immune under any type of law for misrepresentations of coverage. And it would also leave innocent hospitals like Franciscan Scamp that reasonably rely upon such misrepresentations, leave them without any reasonable recourse under state or federal law. ERISA was not designed to be a license to lie. ERISA was not intended nor designed to punish hospitals that rely upon representations of health plans. As is noted in the briefs, the issue of preemption has been addressed differently by different circuits. And in fact, this court in 1993 in the case of Decatur recognized that there's a circuit split essentially on the issue of preemption when it comes to claims by third-party hospitals against ERISA-based plans or their subsidiaries relating to misrepresentations. This court did not specifically take a position on that matter, but did recognize that there's a split in the circuits. It's a split, yes. However, of the jurisdictions that have actually come down on this issue, only one of those, that being the Sixth Circuit, has found that these types of claims, all these types of claims, are preempted by ERISA. This court should adopt the findings and rationale of the other circuits and those circuits that have decided this issue after Decatur that have found that these types of claims are not preempted by ERISA under either type of preemption. Be it
Doesn't that CFR that you cite in your reply brief give your client some relief?
I don't believe that a violation, for example, of that CFR regulation gives rise to any cause of action under ERISA that Franciscan Scamp, for example, could pursue. I'm not aware. I looked at that. I don't think it does convey that type of relief.
It's pretty specific, isn't it, about the duty of disclosure of the potential for the COBRA benefit being retroactively eliminated?
It is very specific to this type of situation, Your Honor. It's a Treasury regulation. I'm not sure what the penalty for not following that is. I believe that falls under the general section regarding the COBRA scheme itself and the rights that employees have to COBRA benefits and the obligations that the plans themselves have to COBRA to plan members that are eligible for COBRA. I don't believe that gives rise under ERISA, under Section 502, for example, for any type of civil relief. The only relief that Franciscan Scamp and hospitals like it would have in this situation is under state law remedies, that being, in this particular case, claims for estoppel and negligent misrepresentation. The claims made by Franciscan Scamp and the facts alleged in the complaint do meet the particular elements under Wisconsin state law. ERISA itself, other than that Treasury regulation, as far as I can tell, and as other courts have recognized, doesn't deal with this particular situation in terms of it doesn't modify the relationship that plans have to third-party hospitals. The hospitals are not parties they're not the employee. The employee, when they started, would have gotten the policy and had a some representative at the company that could have helped advise them of their rights. Hospitals come on late in the scene. They're not, their relationship with health plans are not modified by ERISA. And therefore, a hospital such as Franciscan Skimp has no standing under Section 502 of ERISA to even bring this type of claim. Its only remedy is under state law, and as...
It's a misrepresentation that you bring under state law.
Correct. The misrepresentation is not what Central States would imply that it is. The misrepresentation was simply not putting Franciscan Skimp on notice that coverage was contingent. Franciscan Skimp, as alleged in the complaint, didn't know that she was even within her COBRA election period at the time. Certainly a significant fact that a hospital, when it's told that there's coverage and relies upon that and provides coverage or medical services to a plan member, has a right to know if coverage, in fact, could be taken out from under their feet with and for a reason that they have no control over in this situation. Had Central States accurately represented to Franciscan Skimp that coverage was, in fact, contingent upon COBRA premiums, Franciscan Skimp had a number of options. One, it could have declined to treat Ms. Romine. Two, it could have treated her and made sure that she paid those COBRA benefits. I'm not aware of anything under COBRA or ERISA or whatever that prevents hospitals from making those payments. Franciscan Skimp should have had an opportunity to do that when it was relying upon the representations made by Central States as to the circumstances of her coverage. In this case, the district court made a big deal of this assignment that allegedly took place. The only grounds that the district court could use to find that it was assignment was a claim form that was allegedly submitted, I believe, in January of 2004. The misrepresentations that took place in this case were in October of 2003, a few months previous. The district court made no effort to determine when, in fact, an assignment, if it was taken out, what the terms of the assignment were. But more importantly, even if there was an assignment taken, it's not the assignment that's at issue here. It wasn't Romine that was damaged by Central States misrepresentations. The misrepresentations were made to Franciscan Skimp. It was Franciscan Skimp that relied upon those representations. It's Franciscan Skimp that has not been paid. And it's Franciscan Skimp that, if preemption is allowed in this type of case, will have no reasonable recourse against ERISA-based plans when they are misled about coverage. And as this court recognized in Decatur and as other courts have recognized, if that's the case, if hospitals can't rely upon the representations of ERISA-based plans or their related components, they're going to have to change their behavior. If coverage can be taken out or they can't rely upon those representations, they're going to have to decide whether they can risk not being paid for services. They may require upfront cash payment of those services, and those are not the type of results that we want to see. And that's what's going to happen or could happen if preemption is found appropriate in this case. I see that my rebuttal time is up, and if reserve the remaining time for that, please.
Thank you, Mr. Steger. Ms. Perillo.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Fred Perillo. I have the pleasure of representing the Central States Joint Board, which is the ERISA plan in this case. I want to begin by correcting something that opposing counsel said. He said that there is a circuit split. There was a circuit split. In 2004, the Supreme Court issued the opinion in Aetna versus Davila. It redefined for the federal courts the scope of preemption under Section 502. The court determined in that case that the standard previously employed by this court in JAS and Spatial versus Siebold and similar cases is the correct standard. That is, if the person is an ERISA beneficiary and if the person had a right to proceed under Section 502, they must assert a claim independent of ERISA to escape 502 preemption. Opposing counsel cites this in his brief and stops on page 209 of Davila. But on pages 211 to 214 of Davila, Justice Thomas explained what being independent of ERISA means. He gave the example that a malpractice claim would be independent of ERISA. But he said decisions about coverage are always decisions that arise under ERISA. And because it is such a sweeping statement, I wish to quote it to you. In that case, there was a Texas law called the Texas Health Care Liability Act. I'm going to call it the Texas Act for these purposes. Justice Thomas said, it is clear then that respondents complain only about denials of coverage promised under the terms of ERISA-regulated employee benefit plans. The duties imposed by the Texas Act in the context of these cases do not arise independently of ERISA. Interpretation of the terms of respondents' benefit plans forms an essential part of their Texas Act claim. Petitioner's potential liability under the Texas Act in these cases then derives entirely from the particular rights and obligations established by the benefit plans. Justice Thomas went on to caution against the gambit being proposed by opposing counsel that you relabel the claim as one in tort or from misrepresentation or whatever, or a state statutory claim. He told the courts not to champion the labels over the substance of the action. So, is the hospital a beneficiary? Indeed it is. It took an assignment. That finding by Judge Shabazz is not clearly erroneous. In fact, it's not contested. We submitted affidavits on the jurisdictional facts. Our opponents did not. The only evidence before Judge Shabazz is that they were, in fact, beneficiaries. That decision can't be clearly erroneous, and more importantly, it's fully in accord with the prior decisions of this Court. In Kennedy and Decatur Memorial, this Court said, in Kennedy, for example, an assignee of benefits under an ERISA plan becomes a statutory beneficiary, period. Was the relief sought plan benefits? Well, the complaint says it is. They sought to stop the plan from denying what? Coverage. The relief they asked for was what? Coverage benefits. They said the misrepresentation was about what? Coverage.
Mr. Perillo, yes. What can you tell me what you think about this cite to the CFR in the reply brief?
That appeared for the first time in this litigation in the reply brief. It's not pleaded in the complaint.
That was not addressed at the trial court.
It was never addressed in the trial court. But more importantly, the F in CFR is federal regulation. The state of Wisconsin, no matter what else it wants to do, can't walk over the top of ERISA, COBRA, and the CFR and create conflicting requirements or even duplicative or identical requirements. Justice Thomas, again, in the Davila case, said any remedies that attempt to supplement the remedies in ERISA fall into the bear trap of ERISA preemption. And as Justice Thomas said in the section I just quoted from Davila, coverage determinations, by definition, require interpretation of the plan. So all three of the JAS requirements are clearly present in this case. The contrary cases that are relied upon by the hospital share one common defect. They predate Davila. In fact, some of them are so old they predate Ingersoll Rand versus McClendon, which established the scope of related to preemption under ERISA. The seminal case, which is the Northbrook case, Memorial Hospital versus Northbrook, is in fact pre-McClendon. And lower courts have refused to follow it on the grounds that it doesn't take into account all this preemption law by the Supreme Court that has happened since. Some courts admittedly have carelessly cited the case without noting that it has been passed by McClendon and by Davila. But this court has never fallen into that trap. And in fact, in the Decatur Memorial case, this court, the one relied upon by my opponent, this court did, in fact, find Section 502 preemption. To the extent that the hospital, and I wish to say, you know, the hospital says we're getting a windfall. We didn't get the premium, and we didn't provide coverage. That's what ERISA says is supposed to happen. We administered the plan in accordance with the terms of the plan. That's what ERISA says the fiduciaries have to do. It's not as if we got the premium from the employer, which is what happened in Decatur, and then we didn't provide the coverage. That would be a windfall. Decatur was a pre-certification case, and the hospital called the wrong entity to get pre-certification. That's totally unlike this case. The assignor in this case could have told the assignee, the hospital, that she wasn't going to pay. They could have asked. That was not knowledge that was exclusive to Central States. And the state of Wisconsin simply doesn't have the right to create those extra liabilities for ERISA plans. It's also not true that we are shifting liability here that belongs to us to another party. COBRA allows us to terminate coverage retroactively. Congress has made the determination that we get to shift that liability away from us and toward the non-payer of the premium. The hospital can sue Ms. Romine. She, after all, handed them a worthless assignment. But that is not our problem. Under ERISA, an assignee stands in the shoes of the assignor. This is an ERISA claim. ERISA not only includes claims for benefits, but also clarification of future entitlement to benefit. That's a specific provision in Section 1132A1B. That falls squarely into telling someone what the consequences are of nonpayment of premium. So there is an ERISA cause of action. Counsel said he didn't know of it. I'll point it out to you. It's right in the third clause of 1132A1B. If you want to know what your future rights are when you don't pay your premium, ERISA says you have an action for that. Because they are an ERISA party, they took the assignment, and they had relief under ERISA, and they seek benefits, they are squarely in the bear trap of ERISA preemption. This is not, as some of the courts cited by the hospital seem to think, a policy judgment that the courts are entitled to make. Congress has already made this judgment. It allows retroactive termination of coverage under COBRA. It determined that the remedies in ERISA are exclusive. That ends this song. I wish to respond also to the contention made by the hospital that this would give plans such as the Central States Joint Board a license to lie. If we actually read the complaint, paragraphs 6 and 14, the complaint never says that we made a false statement to the hospital. It says that we failed affirmatively to disclose to them the consequences of nonpayment of premium, which, as we have just seen, falls squarely into ERISA 1132A1B. But failure to tell a hospital that nonpayment of premium could cause a loss of coverage is certainly not a falsehood. And I would think most hospitals know this. I think most people know this. I see that my time has now elapsed, Your Honor. Does the Court have any questions?
Well, you actually have. You're in your last minute, but not it hadn't elapsed. But I suspect we have no questions, so we thank you, Mr. Perlow.
Thank you.
Seeger?
Thank you, Your Honor. I would bring to the Court's attention that the Davila case that both parties have cited to was a case brought by a plan member him or herself. It wasn't a case by a hospital. Davila does not address this type of situation. This is not a claim for coverage. It sounds like a claim for coverage, but it's not a claim for coverage. As the other circuits that have dealt with this type of situation recognize, it's precisely because there isn't any coverage that Franciscan Scamp was damaged. It's seeking tort damages. It happens to be that the measure of damages is what's allowed by the policy. As recognized by other courts and as cited in the brief, mere reference to the plan itself doesn't automatically transform this into an ERISA claim. There's no question that if the hospital received an assignment of benefits, it would have a right under ERISA to pursue the claims that Sherry Romine could have brought herself. That's what an assignment does. Sherry Romine had, there's no allegation in this case that Central States improperly handled the plan itself. If she didn't pay her premiums, there should not be any coverage. That's fine. An assignment would be something brought through that direction. This is not – that's not what this is about. It's precisely because Franciscan Skemp did not need to be educated on the terms of COBRA, but simply needed to be notified of the fact that she was in her COBRA election, period. Had Franciscan Skemp known that, Franciscan Skemp would have had an opportunity to change its course of action, which it wasn't able to do in this case. The assignment is not what gives rise to Franciscan Skemp's cause of action in this case. And even if it received an assignment of benefits, that's not the foundation for why Franciscan Skemp was damaged in this case. It was the misrepresentations. And as other courts have recognized, I apologize, Your Honor, my time is up. As other courts have recognized, that does not give rise to preemption. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Steger. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.